Bring Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We'll help determine the life of your battery or the perfect replacement. Plus, take advantage of the mail-in rebates on select Superstart batteries. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Sunday night's Super Bowl rematch ended with the same result, a New England win, as the Pats topped the Falcons 23-7. The Saints marched into Lambeau and won their fourth straight, beating the Packers 26-17. In London, the Cardinals fell to the Rams 33-zip. Carson Palmer suffered a broken left arm and will miss at least 8 weeks following surgery. Jay Cutler left in the third quarter with a chest injury. Backup Matt Moore rallied the Dolphins to a 31-28 win over the Jets. Elsewhere in the AFC, the Steelers handed the Bengals a loss, 29-14. The Bolts picked up their first win in L.A., 21-zip over Denver. And the Bills outlasted the Bucs at home, 30-27. Zeke Elliott ran all over the 49ers, 40-10. The Vikings beat the Ravens, 24-16. And the Seahawks pounded the Giants, 24-7. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
5:04, it is like Christmas in this building for some people. The Iowa High School football playoffs right around the corner, just like Christmas is right around the corner. We've got the pairings already on the studio door here for all of the playoff games, and we'll have many of them for you right here on KGYM. Right now, what we've got for you is a little something that we like to call the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock on all four. On all three frequencies, I added a mysterious fourth frequency. I'm not supposed to let you know about the Northwest gym. Yeah, I just for our Pacific Northwest listeners, I think I just let the cat out of the bag. 106.3 and 107.5 FM, Alex's Corvallis Connections. We're going to come through and make that a reality. 1600 AM, plenty more to get to today, including Kirk Herbstreit's incendiary tweets about Matt Campbell leaving Iowa State, being poached, being plucked away. And as you can imagine, Iowa State fans are not taking that very well, about as well as Iowa fans are taking Saturday's loss in Evanston. And joining us now to look back on a game that I don't think they'll be putting on a loop in the College Football Hall of Fame anytime soon, it's my good friend Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mark, What's your feeling on this team after? Say you were two seats away from me in the press box. We had the same vantage point. We watched the same football game. What's your view of this team right now?
It's a kind of doesn't really have a foundation in offense, and I think Brian Ferentz is trying to find a loop of plays that work somewhat consistently. They never really found that Saturday. Todd, I kind of keep track. I try to keep track of efficient plays. You know what they gain on first down, second down, third down relative to where they are and what they need for first down. Iowa looked great in the first quarter. They had 10 efficient plays, so they were moving the ball, moving the chains, and by halftime they had six explosive plays, including the 61-yarder to Matt Vandenberg, which they scored the touchdown on. The second half, no explosive plays and just seven efficient plays. So that's an offense that just, as the numbers say, is going nowhere. And I don't know, man. The offensive line, I thought, was kind of together most of the time. I think Eric Jackson had a tough game. Tristan Wirfs had some pretty noticeable mistakes. But, you know, those guys are freshmen, and I know Iowa fans are probably getting really sick and tired of hearing this, but a lot of young guys and a lot of young mistakes.
How big of a gut punch was it to come out of those first two drives with no points, especially for an offense that really needs to control the ball?
Alex, that's an excellent point, and that was huge, I think. I mean, you're talking about, I think it ended up being like 22 plays and then no points. 22 plays, no points, six explosive plays. They finally did get some points out of the last one, but great efficiency. Everything looked great. And then they got to the red zone and things, or I guess the first drive didn't quite get there, but they got to the red zone and one really weird call, third and five at the Northwestern 28, first target, I believe, of Torin Young's career. He ran a pivot route and he just did not get the, didn't shield the defender like a seasoned receiver might. And I think, I don't know what the thinking was on that one. And then, again, down inside the, when they did get inside the Northwestern's red zone on that second drive, they went plus one, oh, minus two, and then a sack. Larry Jackson got beat, 5-yard sack, so did not finish. And that's probably something you'll hear Kirk Ferentz say quite a bit tomorrow.
Mark Morehouse joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We've had a lot of people on the text line today questioning Brian Ferentz's play calling as the offensive coordinator. They had the double reverse or whatever it was on Saturday. It just seemed like Northwestern had sniffed that out. How much do you think Kirk is going to be pressed on Brian tomorrow and the offense in general?
Offense in general, yes, Todd. I'm totally there. And I having seen it develop to where it is now, I don't know if it's questions as much as, you know, when are they getting guys back? And I think getting Boone Myers back would be huge. But now the questions that Kirk Ferentz is fielding at him is, will he be back this year at all? So I don't think the cavalry's coming for the offensive line. I think it is what it is at this point. But I'm not pointing any fingers at Brian. I think when they built this playbook, when they you know were going through fall camp, when they were going in July, when you know they were simulating games, this is not the offensive line that they thought they would have. I mean, 2-3 year starters at the tackle positions are gone and replaced by freshmen. So that's a huge thing, and not many teams recover from that. And Iowa has so far, you could argue that Iowa really hasn't. So I'm not down on Brian. I think that some of those reverse calls, I think that is kind of a, I don't want to say white flag, but that's they are running out of ideas when you see two of those in a game. But I think if I were calling plays for this offense, I don't know what I would lean on, because that inside zone, what, you know, Kirk likes to joke, they have basically three running plays with a bunch of eye candy to go with them. The inside zone is gone. I mean, it's just not consistent, and that's what they want to call, and that's what they thought they would call when they built this playbook, and that's gone.
With the remaining schedule, Minnesota this week, obviously, then two top 10 teams, Purdue and Nebraska, to round out the schedule, is there really any hope for a huge jump in offensive production to round out the season?
Well, if you look at, two top 10 teams that are playing great defense, I'm not sure. You know, Northwestern is a nice defense, I think, a nice front seven. It's not one of the Big Ten's best. I mean, a pretty average front seven dictated tempo against Iowa, dictated the inside of the line of scrimmage. So to think Iowa's going to get the running game going against Ohio State or Wisconsin is probably foolhardy, but it better get it going this weekend against Minnesota, better get it going against Purdue. And, you know, I think what's rounding out to be the crescendo of the season and might be a bigger game for both teams than we think is the Nebraska game. I think Iowa can get it going there, but there are two games out there against top 10 teams that I'm looking at them and I'm going, I don't know how this is going to work.
How concerned should Iowa fans be about Josie Jewell's shoulder right now?
I think Ferentz was fairly honest in that his assessment, saying that that he thinks he'll be back this week. So, you know, I think they need him back. I thought the defense responded pretty well to him not being in there. But that last play, that or that the 23-yard gain in overtime. That was a tough one. That one hit Iowa in the middle of the defense where Josie Jewell would have been. Ben Neiman was a little bit out of position in that play. Northwestern executed an excellent clear-out play, threw some trash at him, and got him out of position. And Justin Jackson's wide open, 23 yards under the two. Iowa needs Josie Jewell. I think he had the eye black on, Todd, so I think he'll be back this week.
You brought it up earlier that this offense better get going this week against Minnesota. I know the Gophers are coming off of victory, but they're reeling a little bit in Big Ten play. Is Saturday a must-win for the Iowa Hawkeys?
I think, yeah, they're all must-wins now. I mean, at 4-3, I mean, losses are just – you saw Saturday. I mean, Saturday was bitterly disappointing for, you know, Iowa fans. They didn't take it very well. I imagine the players and coaches did not take it well. I think every game is a must-win, but, you know, there's definitely, in my opinion, Alex. There's a there's one tier of games. You know, there's Purdue, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Which, you know, to use an I don't know if I can use an Animal House reference anymore, but that's Lonnie Jug Dish, and that's the table at the bad frat house. And then there's Wisconsin, Ohio State. So there's two tiers here, and then there's two levels of interest. I wouldn't put it past Iowa to win one of those two games, but right now I just really can't see it. I mean, I couldn't see Michigan last year either, so, you know, let's see what happens, I guess.
Is apathy dangerously close to setting in with the fan base?
I don't know. No. Everyone always cares all the time. Apathy, though, I think is a fair point in that, you know, they're not selling out. I think there's a pretty good interesting rise in what people wanted to see out of the basketball team last week. Of course, there was a Iowa basketball media day and then Big Ten basketball media day, so that's kind of in the air anyway. But I don't know. I think people will be there for Minnesota, but at 4-3, people are losing interest, but they still care.
You also have this corresponding with the rise of Matt Campbell and the Iowa State football program. What's your take on that?
That is a big poo sandwich that Iowa fans are just going to have to, you know,
hold their nose and swallow.
Nose and take the bite out of. Because Iowa State, Todd, I'm going to tell you this, I hope this doesn't get me in trouble. You know, editorial decision this week. I've done basically game day covers at the Gazette for about 20 years, and I want to say 99.9% of them have been Iowa. This week they made the call to feature Iowa State on the cover of game day. Iowa State's playing TCU. So there is some seepage there. I mean, Iowa State's the ranked team, and certainly everyone's going to celebrate that right now, especially when Iowa really pretty uninteresting 4-3.
So on the cover of game day, Floyd of Rosedale week, Iowa, Minnesota, it's TCU and Iowa State. That's going to maybe get some letters to JR from the other fan base. I know he was dealing with them from the Iowa State fans after the Oklahoma game. Very fascinating here. I want to ask you about this because we did have one person text earlier today, not happy about the performance of Josh Jackson in the return game. Is there any thought maybe that we could see Iowa changing some things up there?
Yeah, but one thing that really disappointed me about that whole situation Saturday, he lost two punts and he didn't field them, and they took Northwestern bounces, and I think they ended up being 59 and 80-yard punts. So obviously you have to catch those. But it seems I wonder what he's hearing from the sideline on with that wind. I mean, the wind absolutely changed, you know, when anybody was kicking into the north end zone. They had a 20-mile wind to the back, and it affected every play. And then the sun also affected things. So there were some variables there that give him some cushion for an excuse. But I wonder what he's hearing on the sideline on how to deal with the wind. Where do you set up? How do you gauge the ball that way? So I wonder about that because it seems like it was very, very muddled. And again, I think, you know, it factored in the Michigan State game. I think it factored in the Northwestern game. This is Josh Jackson's first shot doing this. I would just throw somebody back there who can simply catch the football.
One of the few bright spots of Saturday was the punting game. Did Ryan Gersonde win the punting job, in your opinion?
Maybe. I thought Colton Rask, I think he punted once. It was a rugby punt. I think it was fine. I think he still has a role, but it does feel like that they are going to Ryan Grisanti now. And why not? He's a true freshman. You've got three more years of him. Get him going and see what you have.
The final play of the game, Noah Fant dropping the ball. Stanley, you could put the blame on him for dropping it. You could put the blame on Stanley for zinging in there a little bit harder. I thought one thing to take away after the game was the fact that Kirk Ferentz went out of his way to make sure everybody realized one play didn't lose that game. And then the players also had Noah Fant's back, and that has to be a positive thing for a young player.
I thought it was a positive thing that he came out and talked about it. What a strong young man, and can't not have been easy. And, Todd, I don't know how many times you see the guy make the play at the University of Iowa that doesn't work, and, yeah, he's not there. And that happens sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. And I think it was very classy of Fon to come and talk after the game. Obviously, I think everybody had his back. And to me, football's a lot like Jenga. There's going to be a block that you pull where everything falls down, but everything was started falling down a few more blocks, and this game had plenty of Jenga blocks going, you know, coming out from underneath Iowa. So, yeah, the Fant drop was the final one, but there were other bigger ones, and heck, I would just even go to the overtime in the 23-yard game that the defense allowed, and, you know, and the zero efficient plays in the third quarter, and the whole second half of the offense was a huge Jenga block. So, yeah, this kid, he does too many good things. He's a hugely positive player, I think, in what he can do. They're looking for ways to get him the ball. They had him lined on the backfield a few times Saturday. Too many good things going on to totally shut the door on this guy.
So you've got Floyd of Rosedale in the trophy case. We'll see him tomorrow. We walk past him every Tuesday making our way up the steps. This suddenly becomes a very interesting game here with the arrival of P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, it's a recruiting game, Todd, I think. Iowa and Minnesota found themselves. I mean, let's just go right to Amir Smith Marset's living room late January, early February. Iowa and Minnesota were recruiting the heck out of him, and he committed to Rutgers, and then he committed to Minnesota, and then he committed to Iowa. So then there was at least one other guy, oh, I'm blanking on him now, but there was one other guy that Iowa got that Minnesota offered late. And then, Trey Kramer. And then there was Iowa lost out on a wide receiver late that I think they really wanted, a kid from Kansas. So, I think this is a recruiting game, and I think this is, you know, this is kind of, you know, I think Brian Ferentz would take a pleasure in beating P.J. Fleck. I know that they kind of bumped heads a little bit in recruiting trail. I mean, almost maybe not – physically, but with Smith Marset, they certainly did. So, I think this is a recruiting game and obviously a trophy game. And I was trying to put some shine on the season right now. And I think it really needs this game.
What's the recipe for success, the recipe to get Iowa back on track this weekend?
You know, offensively, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the running game is going to come alive. I don't think there's any personnel change that'll suddenly make that work. So, you know, they've got to grind, and they have to get there were a lot of good plays for the offensive line Saturday. They need more of those. Alaric Jackson there were some things that he missed, I thought, in pass protection that really need kind of shoring up. He got bull rushed a few times. That's not something you expect for a guy who's 6'7", 320. So the offensive line has to get going. Defensively, obviously, Jewel coming back would be a huge boon. But defense, just keep doing what you're doing. And this is, Todd, I think this is the type of game where they're going to need something weird out of special teams. I thought, you know, Miguel Racinos might be Iowa's most improved guy. They're going to need a return, and the return can't be a minus, an absolute total minus like it was it has been two times in critical games this year. Josh Jackson, the punt return, it has to at least hold up its end of the bargain. So I think that this would be the type of game where they need something out of that.
Mark Morehouse, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, we appreciate it as always, and we'll see you tomorrow. It should be interesting.
You bet, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
It very rarely is interesting when Kirk Ferentz meets the media on Tuesday, but I think the questions are going to have a little bit more of an edge to them this week, and we'll see just exactly what the answers are going to be. I think most of them, most of us probably know what Kirk Ferentz is going to say tomorrow. Look, we'll hear coming up before 7 o'clock tonight Kirk Ferentz's post-game comments after the 17-10 loss to Northwestern. And there's a, we didn't get a that's football, but there was a phrase that was perilously close to that's football. And I thought, man, if he drops that atomic bomb after this game, the fan base is going to go absolutely bonkers. But he didn't. So there was no that's football, but it's very clear to everybody that was there that this loss was like a punch in the gut. I, you know, walking past some of the players, I talked to Nate Stanley and a couple of the other guys, and then I found a relatively quiet spot to call back in and do the post-game show here on KGYM, but it looked like they had somebody had told them there was a death in the family. I mean, they just they looked forlorn, and that was a winnable game. Iowa could have had that game, had their opportunities, and at the end of the day, they let it slip away, and a little too easily in overtime. That 23-yard gain by Justin Jackson was just an absolute backbreaker, and I don't think if you get Josie Jewell there, it necessarily probably changes the course of history at all, but maybe it makes it a little bit tougher on Northwestern. And safe to say Pat Fitzgerald probably celebrated on Saturday night. He always enjoys beating the Hawkeyes, and that one had to be extra special to Pat Fitzgerald. They honored the memory of the late, great Ara Parseghian on Saturday and brought back a key Northwestern team from the past and war-inspired helmets from that era. So there was a lot on the line, and there always is when the Hawkeyes come to Evanston, but that's a big win for a Northwestern team that was sort of stuck in the mud and spinning its wheels. And we're going to take a look back at the rest of the Big Ten coming up in hour number three, because there were some surprises over the weekend and then one not-so-surprising outcome. Penn State absolutely routed Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We got another Big Board update on the way. Back with more after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic. Game day apparel, football ticket packages, Hawkeye posters, and the popular American Eats Farmers gear. Get your hands on the new Fight for Iowa logo tees, available in black or gold. You'll definitely want one for the blackout game against Ohio State. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has game tickets to all home Iowa games. And BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages, including your game ticket, tailgate-style buffet, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages currently remain available for all home games. Get them now! BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
This isn't a plug for Honda generators. It's actually a lot of plugs. Honda generators offer quiet, reliable, and efficient power to energize your next tailgate party, for your home during an electrical outage, to power your tools on the job site, and take on your next camping trip. These gasoline power generators have easy starting and dependable Honda engines. See the full line of Honda power equipment at Acme Tools, 1943 Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high-tech and high-touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Welcome back in, 527, just about to the halfway point of the program today. More Iowa State talk to come after the bottom of the hour. Kirk Herbstreit tweeting about the Cyclone football program. Hey, if I would have said that at the beginning of the season, I think fans would have been excited about it. But it was what Herbstreit was tweeting that has some fans up in arms. And now it's going to cause a discussion, and every time Iowa State wins a game moving forward, it's going to continue to be a talking point. Sometimes you want to have your cake and eat it too. I don't understand it, but it's just, it's the world that we live in. Let's bring in Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Cyclones have won three in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12 and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home, hosting number 4 TCU. Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason all-conference team by both the coaches and the media. Gustafson averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also becoming just the fourth player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead of encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rubicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we're going to have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone call-in show. That's going to be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and we'll also have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
It's really cool what you and I in Wisconsin are doing and getting together and playing that exhibition game. And I did a little bit of research. Team Rubicon sounds really interesting to me. It's an organization that's staffed by primarily retired or ex-military veterans and first responders. And when there's a disaster, say an earthquake in Haiti or a hurricane that hits Puerto Rico, they gather up supplies and head down and help out any way that they can. So as I understand it, you will need a ticket to get into that game in the at the Kohl Center on November 1st. They're going to make them available through Wisconsin's website. And as you quote-unquote order the tickets, because they are technically free, then you have an opportunity to give a donation for the tickets. So if you want to give $100, if you want to give $5, but that's the point here. So it's free with quotation marks around it, but going to an organization that certainly, after a little bit of research, looks like it definitely is above board. A lot of times when people are giving to charity and they got to worry about where their money's going and stuff like that, this looks like it's going to get some action done. One other note to pass along, Iowa's recruit Tyler Linderbaum out of Solon. You just saw him. When's the last time you did a Solon game?
It's been a few weeks, but he is the real deal.
It's the real deal?
He's the real deal.
You got to be the real deal to get an invite to the U.S. Army All-American game, and he received one of those. So another feather in the cap of Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes as far as recruiting goes, and A.J. Epinesa, they've had a couple U.S. Army All-American players over the last couple years, but congratulations going out to Tyler Linderbaum out of Solon, who's going to be playing in the U.S. Army All-American game. Kickoff time up in the air for Iowa and Ohio State. It's either 11 a.m. or 2:30. That decision will be made at a later date. Iowa State's West Virginia game November 4th gets a 2:30 start time. And speaking of the Cyclones and head coach Matt Campbell, how much longer is Matt Campbell going to be around in Ames? That's our Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. We will talk Matt Campbell, Kirk Herbstreit, and everything Cyclone-related as hour number two continues after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi with what you need to know. Quarterback Carson Wentz and the NFC East leading Eagles take on the Redskins on Monday Night Football. 8:20 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Philly is up a game and a half on Washington in the division. NBA Suns actively engaged in trade talks with several teams for Eric Bledsoe and hope to find a deal soon. Bledsoe sent home, won't play tonight versus Sacramento. GM Ryan McDonough says that Bledsoe's likely played his last game with Phoenix. Dwayne Wade told Cavaliers coach Ty Lue he wants to come off the bench. A tough start offensively for Wade in Cleveland, so he'll be in a new role for the first time in his career, says ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
I think what he's doing right now is he's saying, I'm trying to figure out how not to be the number one option anymore, and this is part of the transition. And frankly, I tip my hat to him. If you watch the Cavs play over the last week, this was not a good role for him. He recognized it, didn't let it go on for a month.
Wade averaging less than 6 points a game. Warriors star Steph Curry fined $50,000 but not suspended for throwing his mouthpiece in the direction of an official Saturday. Real Madrid's Cristiano Ronaldo won FIFA Player of the Year a fifth time.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
I'll be honest with you, I had no reaction. You know, I think it is what it is. You know, you hit the nail on the head. Those things are things that you'll want to have after the season. And I think the reality of it is that's what makes college football really hard, and that's why people don't stay in that poll, because they do react to it and they have reactions to it. And the reality of those polls are those are things you want to be in when the season's over, because it's a – you know, college football, the season is truly a culmination of everything that happened during the year. And so we've got so much football left to play that, you know, I think being a young coach that's been in this long enough now that you realize those are things that really don't matter. And it's great for the school, great for, you know, obviously everybody to talk about. But the guys in this wall and the staff, I think, could care less about it, to be honest.
Matt Campbell, talking today at his weekly news conference in Ames about Iowa State making its first appearance in the Associated Press Top 25 poll since the 2005 season. As John Walters said during his appearance earlier today on the program, the Cyclones were in the coaches poll several years ago, so it hasn't quite been that long of a drought, but the AP poll tends to carry a lot more cachet and a lot more weight behind it. Welcome back in. 5:37, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And Iowa State fans, we promised that you were going to get the treatment today, so to speak, and here it is, your opportunity to sound off on a number of things. We're sitting in the press box on Saturday in Evanston, Illinois, at Ryan Field after Iowa and Northwestern, and trolling through all of the tweets and everything. And then you come across Kirk Herbstreit, and he had some very interesting things to say about, if you're an athletic director, you know, save your time. If you're looking for a football coach, save your time. Go directly to Ames. Matt Campbell's your guy. And those tweets were not exactly received very well by Iowa State fans over the weekend. Now, Chris Williams from CycloneFanatic.com, whom I defer to on 101% of all things Cyclone-related, I thought did a good job of trying to remind Iowa State fans that that's a compliment, that you take that as a compliment. It means things are on the right track in Ames, that things are going well, that you've got, again, I said this, if in September or August, if I said Kirk Herbstreit's going to be tweeting about Iowa State football in late October, would you take it, yes or no? I think most people would probably vote yes. Now, it's what he's tweeting, and the idea that Iowa State can't be a destination job for somebody, that this is going to be another Gene Chizik-type short layover. I don't know Matt Campbell that well, but I do know this. I think you would be making a terrible mistake if you were an athletic director and Matt Campbell was your hire, given the short track record in Ames at a Power 5 program. I understand what he did at Toledo, but he's only been in Ames a couple years, and this is the first time that the program has shown life. And look, I don't mean this in any way to be disrespectful. What I'm trying to convey here is that I think it's ludicrous that anybody is having the Matt Campbell stay or go conversation at this point when the season isn't even over yet. And they've got some nice wins on the resume, and they can pick up another huge scalp this weekend if they knock off TCU at home. But can we pump the brakes on pushing Matt Campbell out the door in Ames? Who's to say he even wants to leave?
See, that's where things got interesting with Kirk Herbstreit, because he followed up his tweet about anybody looking at
Ames.
He's
gone.
He followed that up by saying, by retweeting somebody who was telling him to shut up, saying, sorry, big fella, he's
Andy
gone.
It's Andy Garman.
And then he responded to Andy Garman's tweet once again, tripling down, I don't make the rules, Andy, but let me assure you, enjoy this team and the coach in particular while you can. He's gone. That's an eerie statement, though, because Kirk Herbstreit, you can hate him or love him. I think he's absolutely great at what he does. He just doesn't make things up out of the blue. He's been wrong before.
We all have. There's no
question about that. I think.
But he's, if you asked me to name five guys who are dialed in to college football,
yes,
Kirk Herbstreit's on my list. And
he's
by
in
dialed
the top five,
in, I mean, does Todd Brommelkamp have a good idea of what the athletic director at Toledo or TCU or even Iowa State in Iowa probably is thinking about doing on any given day? No, I don't. But Kirk Herbstreit does. Iowa State fans, your opportunity. Join the program, 319-366-1600. You say we don't talk about the Cyclones enough. They're in the top 25. You have to give them credit for what they've accomplished in the first half of the season. And you have to also pay lip service to tweets that I think this is a non-story. But now, all of a sudden, it's like, if you're an Iowa State fan, why can't you just have anything nice? Why can't you enjoy being in the top 25 for the first time in 12 years? Why do you all of a sudden have to be pushed to the edge or to the brink of, and now worrying about Matt Campbell leaving? Tune it out. Look, Campbell's doing that. Campbell's tuning out the outside noise. This is a guy who a couple years ago at Toledo wouldn't even talk to schools during the year. Okay? Didn't want any distractions whatsoever. It wasn't until the season was over where the ball really got rolling on any job offers, and Iowa State happened pretty quickly. But he didn't want to talk about it during the year while the season was going on. And I don't think anything probably has changed much with regard to being in Toledo or being at Iowa State. He doesn't seem to appreciate the fact that this is now going to be a distraction for his team, because anytime you talk about a guy leaving, college kids are 18, 19, 20, and they're all over Twitter. They're all over social media. You can't hide this from them, that Kirk Herbstreit, of all people, is speculating on. So what happens then? Now you've got a locker room full of guys, and it may not be 100% of them, but it could be 15% of them, 20%. In the back of their mind, they're wondering, is he being forthright with us and honest? And if you let that seep in, then things can get out of hand really quickly. So this is a precarious situation, and it's not of Matt Campbell's doing. He didn't put himself in this position. All he's done is win games. It's Kirk Herbstreit that now has given this sort of hot potato to Matt Campbell, and he's the one who has to deal with it.
I've seen this song and dance before, and I saw it about 2 years ago with a family member, actually, who play, we've talked about it. Younger brother plays at the University of Memphis. They had a hot coaching candidate who was rumored to be going to every school around the country.
Is this Justin Fuente?
This is Justin Fuente. They're ranked in the top 15 at the time. And
now currently the head coach at Virginia Tech.
And at the end of the year, Pat Forty comes out before the last game, and or second to last game, and says, I would bet my mortgage that Justin Fuente will be the next head coach at Virginia Tech. And just the damper that put with the fan base, and with I don't think that the players actively reacted to it, but it was in the back of their minds. And it's through no fault of the coach, it's through no fault of the players. But I just look back on that, and I said the same thing that you just echoed, Todd. I wish I could have enjoyed that time more than I did and blocked out the outside noise. Because what was happening there may never happen again. I'm not saying that Iowa State will go downhill or anything. And the fact that Matt Campbell has put that program on better traction than it's been in a long time makes that job more interesting to more coaches around the country. But enjoying this type of success and where it might go is important. And I think I will just use this as a cautionary tale to Iowa State fans. Enjoy it, because this is a good football team and they have a chance to win 7, 8, 9 games this year.
You're either a stepping stone or you're a destination in college football. And right now, until somebody comes along and makes you a destination, you're a stepping stone, whether you like it or not. It's just a matter of how long somebody wants to remain on said stone. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. It's Phil in Cedar Rapids wants to talk about the Cyclones. Phil, your team's having a hell of a year. What's up?
And we are thrilled about it. And it kind of stole my thunder when he made mention about Herbstreit doubling down and then tripling down. The first tweet was absolutely a compliment to what Coach Campbell's put together here. And this, we're enjoying the hell out of the run. That's not the issue. Cyclone Nation might be a little more sensitive than some fan bases based on the fact that we've lost some coaches, TB, though. And, two coaches to one NBA team. You know, that doesn't happen to a lot of schools, but we're thrilled. We need to fill Jack Trice on Saturday and keep supporting this coach. Glad the president got named today. I think that was key to continuing this run. But thanks for taking the call, TV. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Phil, and thanks for listening. I try really hard to do right by Iowa State here in Eastern Iowa. Look, geographically, this is Hawkeye country. This is Big Ten country. And you also have a lot of people here that are interested in Iowa State. And I challenge anybody to try to walk that line and keep everybody happy. You can't do it. But you got Iowa State in the top 25, and you got Iowa just banging its head against a brick wall and losing to Northwestern in overtime. I'd rather talk about the positive story. Now, in this business, the negative story usually is better for you because people love to complain. And in this instance, it's the best of both worlds because people are complaining about Iowa State getting positive attention. But like he said, the first tweet, okay, compliment. And then it's the second, the follow-ups, where it's like, okay, now you're raining on the parade, Kirk. What's going on here? But I want to be really clear about this. I don't know Matt Campbell. I'm not Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, those guys, John Walters. They know Matt Campbell. I don't. But I do know this. He's a very young guy, and most young guys who are in the coaching profession don't get into it with the idea that they're going to be at a place for 20, 25 years, especially in this day and age. The day will, and I've, look, I look like an idiot because I said this 15 years ago with Kirk Ferentz. The day will come where he leaves. He goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, or he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs or somewhere. He did go to the Chiefs, right? That Marty said that, and that was reported as news, and it never happened. Well, Ferentz is still here, so you know, I look like an idiot saying that, but it's sort of the exception to the rule. And now it's like Iowa State fans are just, they're in the middle of this great season, and they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And if it doesn't drop in 2017, and they get off to a good start in 20, is it going to drop in 2018? And I'm glad Phil mentioned Tim Floyd and Fred Hoiberg, because in those two examples, I think those both of those guys ultimately wanted to be NBA coaches. And so that's a special, you got to, I think, separate them out. They wanted to be NBA coaches and ultimately, yeah, to go to the same franchise. That's a little unique. But I don't think Matt Campbell wants to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. But I do think that, like 99.9% of guys in the coaching industry, he wants to make more money, be at a higher profile program, and there are two ways to do that. You can either stay where you're at and build it, and that takes time, and it takes resources, and it takes commitment, and it takes consistency. And neither program in the state has had consistency. Probably you can virtually say forever. I mean, look at Iowa right now is riding the roller coaster up and down, up and down, up and down every 2-3 years. So you can stay where you're at and you can build it, but it's going to take time and it's going to take consistency and it's going to take more fan support than you've got right now. It's going to take more monetary support than you've got right now. It's just going to take a ton of breaks going your way. Or you can go someplace else that's in a better position. That's just, I think most people realize and recognize and acknowledge that that is the reality of the situation. But let's not be so quick to push this guy out the door. Maybe he wants to prove himself for 2 or 3 more years or 5 more years or 10 more. I don't know. Look, Virginia Tech got Frank Beamer. Iowa got Kirk Ferentz. Other places have gotten coaches to stick around.
Gary Patterson at TCU.
And that's a great example, the team that's coming to Ames this weekend. Gary Patterson, I bet, has probably had at least half a dozen job offers that he seriously considered. He's probably had dozens of job offers, but he's probably had 6 that have at least caused him to sit down and talk with his family, talk with his agent. And yet he remains where he is. And it's because he likes the situation, and he's got a good thing going, and he's been able to build that and get to the level where TCU is consistently winning. And that is the hardest thing to do in college football today, is to win consistently. Because look what happens when you have a dip. Look what happens at Nebraska when you lose three games and you do it a couple times. Frank Solich, Bo Pelini. Pelini had, obviously, the attitude issues. But winning consistently in college, where it is a what have you done for me lately game, you know, what's to say that you're getting treated one way this year and 2 years from now, you win six games, seven games, you're not getting treated the same way. It is so fickle. And I probably have upset some people by even thinking that there's credence to Matt Campbell leaving. I wouldn't if I were him. I would look.
They have a really good team coming back next year,
too. The recruiting has ticked upwards. The Big 12 right now is about as volatile as it ever has been. Stoops is out at Oklahoma. Texas is still rebuilding under Tom Herman. There's a window. There's an opportunity. And so if I'm Matt Campbell, I go, you know what? This isn't like the old days where Bob Stoops and Texas have both have it going and you're maybe playing for third place. There is a chance that you could make some noise, a legitimate chance to make some noise there. So if I'm Campbell, it's got to be one heck of a job. He's from Ohio, right? Massillon, yes. Ohio. I don't see him going to Nebraska. I don't see him going further away from home. It would have
Tennessee to be or Arkansas.
It would have to be. Look, I don't. I haven't seen the updated odds on Tennessee. But do you want to play that game where you go from taking over a?
I wouldn't.
I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this, but it was the reality at the time. Do you want to go from taking over a bottom-feeding program in the Big 12, putting in hard work, effort, couple years, you get them.
That's a fair statement.
Then you want to go take over a bottom-feeding program in the hardest conference to win in the country.
A bottom-feeding program with expectations through the roof. For some reason.
And a program that may or may not have any garbage cans, because when they get rid of Butch, he may take the garbage cans with. I apologize to Craig for making him hold on there, but there was some stuff that I wanted to get off my chest. And Craig in Cedar Rapids talking Cyclones. What's up, Craig?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, what's the problem here with Coach Campbell and Iowa State? If they want to keep him, pain.
Okay, and there's nothing to say that they can't or won't. But right.
West Virginia wants him and makes him an offer, then he's got to, and Iowa State's got to step up and beat that offer. I mean, Kerr Ferentz is a perfect example. One good season, and he gets a contract extension with a massive pay raise.
What was the one good season, Craig?
Well, the undefeated season, for one.
Okay, well, but that was, I mean, he's been the coach at Iowa since 1999, so
I understand. He
got that way before that season came along. But no, I understand what you're getting at, and look, money is ultimately the deciding factor for a lot of these guys, and I appreciate the phone call, and it was for Todd Licklider. That's the cautionary tale for coaches, and I'm sure there are others out there, but Todd Licklider was comfortable at Butler, should have stayed at Butler, but got offered $1 million a year to coach Iowa basketball. $1 million a year would change the lives of, I don't want to say that I know the listenership of this program, but I know me, so I'm going to say $1 million a year would change the lives of 99.9% of the people who listen or work on this radio program. You got to do it, but right? If you're comfortable where you're at, money doesn't buy you happiness all the time. And in Todd Licklider's case, it bought a lot of misery for both him and the fan base. Let's keep it here. Kyle's going to bring you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Cyclones have won three in a row after a 31-13 victory over Texas Tech this weekend. They moved to 5-2 on the season and 3-1 in the Big 12, and now find themselves ranked 25th in the country, giving them their first appearance in the AP poll since 2005. They'll have an opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend at home, hosting number 4 TCU. And Cyclone linebacker Marcel Spears was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week for his play in Saturday's win. The redshirt freshman had 7 tackles and a pick 6. The Iowa women's basketball team held its media day in Iowa City today, the first day of Big Ten Women's Basketball Week, and junior forward Megan Gustafson was named to the preseason All-Conference team by both the coaches and the media. Gustafson averaged 18 points and 10 rebounds on her way to breaking single-season records for rebounding and double-doubles, and also became just the 4th player in program history to score 600 points or more. It was announced today that the UNI men's basketball team will be traveling to Madison on November 1st to take on Wisconsin in an exhibition game for hurricane relief. The game will be free admission into the Kohl Center, instead encouraging fans to make small donations to Team Rumicon. Tonight after the show, I'm sure we'll have some awfully excited fans on the Cyclone Call-In Show. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we'll also have Monday Night Football with the Eagles hosting the Redskins on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Too many texts to get to on the Hertin and Stocker text line, but I will do my best to get to them coming up in hour number 3 of the program. Mantality. They've got a website. Check it out, lowtusa.com. And what are you going to learn when you go there? Well, you'd be surprised what you might find out if you check it out. But primarily, it is a local men's health clinic that is looking to get you back on track and maybe make you great again. That's a slogan that's gotten a lot of play in this country over the last couple years. But how would you like to feel like your old self? Maybe you've had a hard time pinpointing just exactly why you're a little more forgetful than you used to be, or why you just don't have the energy to do some of the things that you do, or maybe why things aren't going well for you in your personal life. It could be, and I say could be, low testosterone. LowTUSA.com is the website to check out. The best part is when you make your initial appointment the very first time that you go there, they do a blood draw, and that's it. They can tell you whether or not low T is an issue for you and whether it needs to be treated, and you never know what else they might find out either. I'm not going to sit here and tell you more about them. I'm going to let you do it yourself. LowTUSA.com, the website, Mantality. Back with more after this.